Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
The title of my message is Things Unseen. And I'd like to start out by reading Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So how many people know we live in the natural? We live in a world that we see, we can hear, but there's another world that is just as powerful, and that's where God does some of his best work, is when it's in the unseen. And then it shows up in the seen. So evening. I know what time it is. The daylight savings, that's a real thing. So tonight, I'd like to just share what God's done in my life, and that's going to take us back to 1986. So I was like, God, how do I say this? And he was like, well, if I was a superhero, this would be my origin story. Okay? And I was like, well, what would my superpower be? It'd be like, feistiness. So we're going back to 1986. So on New Year's Day, my mom gets a phone call from her doctor. Hey, Debbie, we know why you aren't feeling well. You're going to have a baby. And she's like, oh, well, that's funny. That wasn't planned. And so she's kind of processing through that. Her birthday is at the end of the month. And I chatted with her just a couple days ago to make sure I had all my facts straight. And she said, by the time my birthday came, I actually was already wearing maternity clothes. And that means your belly's pretty big pretty quickly. So her first appointment with the doctor, they took one look at her and went, okay, well, you're not very far along. And when your belly's that big, typically it means that you have a lot of excess fluid, and that means that there's a problem. It means usually there's some birth defects. And first of all, I do want to say tonight might feel a little heavy in some spots, but spoiler alert, I am fine, and Jesus is king. So just bear with me, okay? So she's like, okay, well, that wasn't what I wanted to hear. So just a heads up, things aren't going well. Over the course of a few months, because it's 1986 and the ultrasounds aren't super great, they're trying to pinpoint what exactly is going on. And her belly is just huge. It's just there's so many things that could possibly be wrong. And these are the things that they found. So ultrasound after ultrasound, and they pinpoint and they say these things about me. They said, well, Debbie, she only has one kidney. And from the get-go of life, it's not the best. You can live with one kidney, but it's tough to do that from an infancy. They said, another thing we see is spina bifida. It's a fancy word for when you're developing your spine, the bottom doesn't close all the way. And so a little bit of your spine and your nerves are actually poking out. Not good. So that was kind of a biggie. And then they went up to the heart. They did the anatomy scan on the heart. And they was like, well, don't really know how this heart is beating. There's not the right amount of chambers. That's not developing correctly. And then the kicker, they went up to the brain. And they're like, well, this isn't developing right either. She either has Downs or at some other mental delay, maybe cerebral palsy. We can't quite pinpoint what's going on, but it's not right. Well, I was right. So this is not the news you want to hear when you're expecting a baby. At an anatomy scan, you also get to find out the gender. And they said, oh, by the way, it's a girl. And I have three amazing older brothers, and I'm the only girl. So my mom was like, a girl? I don't know what to do with a girl. So these are not the words you want to hear. And I don't know what you're facing tonight, but that maybe there's other words in your life that other people are speaking over you that are just as devastating as that. Tonight I'm speaking about something God did for me physically, but maybe there's something else, and all of this correlates to whatever it is you're walking through as well. So my first point is watch the words. Watch the words, okay? So I'm thankful for my mom and what she chose to do. At that very first appointment, when they took one look and said, we know that something's not right. You're early enough in your pregnancy. You do have the option to terminate. And I'm thankful that my mom looked at them and said, that is not an option. I will not be doing that. So thank you, Mama. But I felt like I needed to say this. If your story in your life has been touched by abortion, and that is not how your story ended, I want you to know, God told me to tell you today that he loves you, that he can heal any heart wound, and that he is waiting for you tonight with open arms. So, my mom knows that there's power in prayer. So, I looked up this word, amen. We throw this around church a lot, amen. It's usually after we're praying, in Jesus' name, amen. We seal the deal. So the word amen means, so be it. Everything that I just said before that, I'm coming into agreement with and I'm sealing it, amen. I want to say something to you right now. Do not amen things in your life that do not line up with the word of God. Don't do it. So my mom is listening to the doctors, and I don't dislike doctors. Some of my best friends are nurses. I love you. I appreciate you. You know more things than I will ever know, and we need you. And so there's no bitterness there about the medical profession. They were seeing things in the natural, and they were saying what they were seeing. But my mom knows that God works in the unseen. So she calls up. It's 1986, corded phone. She calls up the church prayer chain. And she puts me on the prayer request list, and they start praying. My family starts praying. So, and this goes on for months. This was not a quick resolution. So she's sitting in a service similar to this, one service, and she heard God say to her, the baby will live. Your daughter is for you. The baby will live. Now, this was a little vague. He didn't say, I'm going to heal everything. He didn't say, she'll live, my mom's like, with Downs, without Downs, a lot of surgeries. Like, what does that mean, Lord? Can you specify? He didn't. Sometimes it's a trust exercise, right? But, so she hears that word, the baby will live, and she just holds on to that. My grandma, I call her Nana, she had a dream of a little girl with long blonde hair and blue eyes, and she called my mom up, and she said, I think I have this dream, and I think that's Mallory, and I think God's telling me that she's going to be okay. So I want to say this to you. Watch the words. Are you going to hold to the words of the world and the natural, what you're seeing, things that people are speaking over you about your situation? Are you going to go to the word of God and believe that and hold on to that? So in Matthew 4:4, let's bring in some Bible. That'd be good. Matthew 4:4, this is Jesus, and he answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So just like how we need physical food to nourish our bodies every day, we need the word of God every day. So my mom heard a specific rhema word from God, but she also had the word of God, the Bible, where there's every promise is yes and amen in Jesus. So whether you realize it or not, God is always speaking, and we can just tap into that frequency. And the Bible's the best one. Like, it's just right there for you. He wrote it for you. So going back to 1986, continuing the story. She was about 7 months along, and they were like, okay, we finally got our ducks in a row. At Swedish Medical Center in Seattle, we have in the whole state, we have one 3D ultrasound. Whoop-de-doo. So they're like, we need to know what is going on. You're going to go there. You're going to go there, and we're going to see the full picture, and we're going to see exactly what's going on. So don't you think that my mom was walking into that hospital holding on to the word, the baby will live, the baby will live, the baby will live. And I'd love to know what that ultrasound tech thought when they were checking the chart, the paper chart, beforehand. And they're looking through, okay, getting ready for the ultrasound. Okay, these are the things I need to check. Okay, wow, this is going to be possibly a tough one. Okay, so they come in, and they start the ultrasound. And the tech starts looking at the screens, and looking at the chart, and looking at the screens, and looking at the chart. She goes to the kidneys. Huh, well, there's two kidneys now. And she goes to the next thing. the heart is perfectly made. It's perfect. Four chamber, all the chambers it's supposed to have, it's pumping great. Go to the spina bifida. What does that look like? That closed up just fine. No spina bifida. And my mom, you know. And then the last one, check the brain. Okay, we're going to look at the brain deeply. And they're like, you know what? I don't know what they saw earlier, but I don't see any sign of that. This brain is developing the way it should perfectly. So that's what God can do. And to drive this point home, I want to let you know, I'm going to say this to you right now. The doctors do not have the final word. The judge does not have the final word. The bank does not have the final word. Your boss doesn't have the final word. God has the final word. He took what was spoken over me, which was death, and he rewrote over the top of it, and he said life. And that's what God can do. And that is, when you get a word from God, you stand on that thing. Okay. So that's going to lead to my next point, which is watch for the thief. Okay. So in John 10:10, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So the thief in this is the enemy of our soul, the devil. And he needs a hobby, because this is the only thing he's worried about, is stealing and killing and destroying. And that's exactly what he tried to do. And God moved in the unseen, and he did not like that. He didn't like it one bit. So there's a couple of scenarios that I want to warn you tonight of where to watch for the thief. And one of them is when the miracle does happen. So when God does move in the unseen, he did the miracle, the enemy is going to prowl around that thing looking for a weak point. And he's going to try to double down and get you in there. So what are some of the ways he does this? So one way is doubt and unbelief. If it was a physical healing, maybe you wake up one morning and you feel a twinge, you're like, oh no. It was a complete healing, right, God? I believe fully. I know that you did it, but the enemy's just gonna search in there for a weak point. He'll bring doubt and unbelief. Did God really do that? Did God really say? Can I encourage you tonight, when you hear those words, did God really? There's a muscle that you need to start exercising, and I call it the backup devil leave now muscle. And those, just like a regular muscle, the more you use it, the stronger you'll get and the easier it will get. So when you hear those words in your mind, it is not from your father. It is not. Did God really say? In the Garden of Eden, he tried the same thing with Eve, to try to get her trust in God to be shaken. Did God really say that? What she should have said is, yes, he did, leave me alone, and she should have disengaged. And that's what you need to do. And that's what I need to do. So that's one way that he comes at you. Another way that he can come at you, and unfortunately I have authority on this one, is with guilt and condemnation and performance. So when God healed me, so growing up as a kid, heard the story, right? My parents spoke it for me, my grandparents, and they say, Mallory, God healed you. He has a plan for your life. You're so special to him, and he saved you for a purpose, on purpose. And none of those things are wrong. That was a good encouragement. We should be speaking that over our children, right? But what the enemy came in, and I was young, and how many people know when those lies take root when you're young, they take some time to unroot. And those seeds, he was starting to plant. And so this is what it looked like for me. So when I'd make a mistake, or even in school, I wouldn't get quite the right grade, or I disobeyed my parents, disappointed them. This is what it would sound like. You're not even supposed to be here. You have one life. God saved you for a reason, and you're blowing it. You're not doing it right. Like, don't make him disappointed that he saved you. You're not even supposed to be here. So, this added a lot of pressure to my life, as you can imagine. And this took root when I was young. And I was little, and I didn't really tell anybody that I was thinking these things, and it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And by the time I was an adult and these things had really taken root, it had turned into performance. It had turned into, I have to be perfect, can't stop, won't stop, don't rest, don't make God disappointed that he saved you. Like, and it also is a silencer. So I'm up here sharing this tonight. It's a breakthrough moment for me. I've never shared this publicly, and I'm kicking it to the devil again. Because he tried to steal my voice. You're not even supposed to be here. Just sit down, shut up, get in the corner, fly under the radar. You barely squeaked out of the womb. Be quiet. So that does not line up with what my father says about me. But also, going back to what the doctors had spoken over me, I want to touch on something really quick because I have time. Word curses are real. What people speak over you, what you speak over yourself, it matters. And so something that God healed for me fairly recently, within the last few years, was the words that the doctor spoke over me. They spoke death over me. The baby will die. The pregnancy isn't viable. Hey, Debbie, you should maybe take control of this situation and handle it. They tried to take me out before I was even born. That's a word curse. That's a spirit of death, and it was on my life. And it may have been broken by the adults in my life. They may have broken that for me, but unfortunately, I came back into agreement with it, and that's where the root of that, you shouldn't even be here. It's that ugly death voice. You're not even supposed to be here. And that thing got had a hold of me for years. Ask Devin. Devin, I love you, babe. He used to call me his little curmudgeon. Because I was so negative and I was so heartbroken because I had this piping off in my head every day. You're not even supposed to be here. And when God broke these lies for me on a night like this, later we're going to have our ministry team, a fancy word for people who know how to pray. They hear from the Lord. They operate in his power. Can I encourage you, don't let anything stop you from coming down here. If you are ready to surrender it, God can break lies for you on this altar like he did for me. And these are the things that he said. Mallory, stop having survivor's guilt. I'm not keeping score. Why are you? You can always come to me. I will never run out of miracles for you. You have been told a lie that somehow me healing all of that, and it is a big deal for you. I didn't even break a sweat. I didn't like, oh, I need to sit down after that spina bifida. No. He's like, Mallory, I thought it and it happened. I healed you because I wanted to. You couldn't repay me then. You can't repay me now. That's not why I did it. And for someone who is living under that curse, I was free again. We're fresh, real, and powerful. That was 5 years ago. That's it. I've been living in a new level of freedom for 5 years. And he's never going to run out of miracles for me. I'm not going back there, ever. Okay, the next one. The next thing I'd like to talk about is, so I talked about watch for the thief when the miracle does happen, whatever kind of miracle it is. The next one I want to talk about is when God doesn't answer it in the way that you asked or the way that you thought he would. Point one or point two, if he hasn't answered it yet, okay? So I'm going back to 1986, bear with me. Okay, so at the 3D ultrasound, they said, yes, all those things resolved. Resolved, God got involved. But they saw me on that 3D ultrasound and I was sucking my thumb and everything stopped right here. And they said, okay, all of those kind of bigger things resolved, but her esophagus is missing. It never developed. It stops right here. And they said, well, of all the things that we thought we saw, this one we know how to fix. It will not be an easy road, but we can do reconstructive surgery after she's born. So that's what they did. So I was born a month early. I was 4.5 pounds. They dressed me in doll clothes because no preemie clothes would fit me. They put a feeding tube in, And the doctor sent them home and said, okay, we need to do reconstructive surgery before she gets too old. She needs to be 6 months old, or she needs to weigh 15 pounds, whatever one comes first. When I was 7 months old, I weighed 13 pounds. And they said, we can't wait anymore. We're going to go forward with the surgery. So drove me back up to Seattle. It was a big day. It was a big surgery. And my mom said that this is the verse that she held to, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And she said, she had the first word, the baby will live, and this verse, my grace, whatever you're going to walk through, my grace is sufficient for you. I have you. So the surgery, they did the surgery. I died on the table twice. My lung collapsed. They had to cut me in half to fix it. I've got some scars and I don't usually show them, but if I did, I would imagine people would be like, whoa. They'd be like, yes, I got in a knife fight and I won. I come out of surgery and I'm in the NICU and my parents are next to me. And they told them all the things like, hey, she kind of coded and we got her back and it's kind of a lot. And right now we need to wait a week to see if the surgery, we need to let it heal. And then she's going to try a bottle and that's what's, you're going to know what your life's going to look like after that. And so I'm in the NICU. My mom says they're standing next to me, just talking to me, letting them know that they're there, And I started to turn blue. And my mom couldn't even say anything. And my dad was like, hey, we need some help over here. And so they ushered my parents out quickly, went to a conference room, and they started working on me. And the doctor came back in, and he said, okay, she's stabilized. We had her on a little bit too much sedative, and she was in respiratory distress. But she's fine. We stabilized her. She is fine now. And she is mad. She has a fighter spirit on the inside of her. And she wants to live. So I come by it naturally. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me my fighter spirit. So about a week later, I tried my bottle for the first time, and I drank it like a champ, and I've been eating stuff ever since. So God is good. But I say all that to say this. I have asked God, why? Why was it not a complete healing? You were right there. You healed spina bifida. You healed Downs. Why did you leave the throat? And here's something that I've learned. The thief will try to come in and bring doubt, right? And try to rob what God did do. Well, why didn't you do this? He didn't heal it the way that my parents asked. He didn't heal it the way they thought he would do it. And this is my understanding of walking this and other things. So I'm going to walk back here for a second. Do you see this LED screen? This is what God has taught me. This LED screen is massive. So let's say we have 40 of them. And that represents everything that God knows. The Bible says that God is all-knowing. He never began and he will never end. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything there is to know about the world, the galaxies, your body, my body, everyone who's ever lived, every hair on their head, everything that there is to know, God knows it. Do you want to know how much I know? Do you see this little pixel down here? That's how much I know. Okay? So, at the end of the day, I do not want a God that I can understand. If I can understand God, then he is at my level. No. He is the living God, and I trust him. And it is my job to pray in faith and believe, and it is his job to be God. So, I want you to know, it's okay to ask the why question. And can I encourage you? You should. Because sometimes he does answer it. I have asked, why didn't you do this? Or why did you allow that? And he's shed a little light on it. So he might answer you. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. So pray the audacious prayers and ask the why. There's a character in the Bible that asked the why. So the book of Job, God allowed him to be processed. He had trauma after trauma after trauma. Horrible things. And for chapter after chapter, he has some gutsy things to say to God. Go read it. But he asked why. He asked why, like chapter after chapter. And then God comes to him, and God answers him and says, oh, Job, guess what? I'm going to ask you some questions now. And this is what God says. Job, were you there when I made the sun, the moon, and the stars? Were you there when I told the ocean it could only come this far? Were you there when I see every egg hatch all over the world? Are you there when, he even talks about when a deer gives birth in the forest and no one sees it. Are you, I'm sorry, Job, are you God? That's what God asked Job. So God was not afraid of Job's why. He's not afraid of your pain, my pain. He's not afraid of our anger. He's not afraid of the why. You can come to him. Do not let your pain keep you from the one who can heal it. At the end of the book of Job, after God answers Job, the why, this is what he says, Job 42:5. This is Job speaking. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. When you are face to face with God, his presence is what you need. His presence, who he is enough for the why. At the end of the day, I either trust my God or I don't. Can we put up Isaiah 55:8-9? This verse used to make me mad because I felt like it was a cop-out. I'm a logical person. I like to know the why. And I think we all do. He put that inside of us. We have a justice thing that we care about, and we have a why thing that we care about. And that's okay. That's why he's not afraid of it. So Isaiah 55:8-9, God says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The problem with knowledge is that it's heavy. There's a weight to it. And God revealed this to me. I was reading this and I was like, God, this verse gives me so much comfort now, but it used to make me kind of mad. Because my brain, my spirit, it helps my spirit, but my brain's like, well, yes, I know you're higher than me and you don't do things the way that I do things. And you don't do them in the timing that I ask sometimes. But it's like this. If we were going on a family trip, Devin and I, and our son's 10 now, but let's say he was 4. And we had packed that suitcase out for that airplane, 49.9 pounds, you know what I'm saying? And we looked at Tyler Devin, and we said, hey, Tyler, can you roll that to the baggage check for us? 50 pounds for a 4-year-old. Do you think he would have been able to do it? No. He either would have tried and hurt himself, knocked it over, or Tyler, he would have sat down and started crying. Like, you've asked me something impossible. Knowledge and the why is like that. It's a heavy piece of luggage. If, as a human parent, if I wouldn't do that to my child, why would God put a knowledge and a weight so heavy on you that he knows you can't bear? You know what I'm saying? Let him hold the weight of the knowledge of the why. He might tell you why. You should ask. I don't know why my parents had to walk all of that. I don't know why I had to deal with all of this. I don't. But he does. And he's healed it again and again and again. Let him carry the heavy for you. A weight you were never meant to carry. If you could stand tonight. There's a couple groups of people that I'd like to pray for. And tonight I recognize that It's hard to trust somebody that you don't know. And so if you feel far from God tonight, maybe you knew him, maybe you've never known him. But if you want to, then tonight's your night. So if I could have everyone just close their eyes for a minute, just have a quiet moment. If you're in this room then tonight and you're like, Mallory, I know that I need him. I want that power. I want that trust, but I don't feel like I can trust because I don't know him. I've heard of him, maybe like Job, I've heard of him, but my eyes want to see him. He's ready for you tonight. So if that's you, I'd love to pray with you. If you're ready to surrender it all, the pain, the why, the anger, whatever you've walked through, that's what I've walked through, but whatever you've walked through, God is ready and willing to meet you right here. So if that's you tonight, if you could raise your hand, just so I know, no one's looking around, just so I know who I'm praying for, please go ahead. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hand down. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you guys can look up at me. Let's pray this all together if you want to. If you've already prayed it, can you pray with them? God, we come to you tonight. We thank you. You are a saving God. Right now, I surrender. I ask that you wipe me clean. Heal my pain. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that heaven is my home. That you are my God. Help me start walking with you so I can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give them a hand tonight? Thank you, God. The second group of people, if you have any need, if you have any need tonight and you need, maybe you need a boost of faith. Maybe you are waiting. There is a miracle that's delayed. I have one of those. I'm waiting and I'm trusting in the timing. Maybe you need a fresh word from God tonight, something to hold to. Maybe tonight you want to say, God, I have been listening in the natural. I haven't been listening to your word and I want to change it right now. So if that's you, if you could just raise your hand, I'm just going to pray for us. And that's probably most of us, I would imagine. Before I forget, can I encourage you? We're going to have our ministry team up here in a minute. They would love to pray with you. If there's anything that I said tonight that kind of rattled some things and you want to come work it out, they're ready and willing to pray with you. It's God's power, but they'll walk you through it. So tonight, God, I thank you for what you have released. God, you are so good. You are a good Father. Thank you that your power is real. You do heal. There is nothing impossible for you. You are a good God, and we thank you. Right now, I release your healing power, God, for any physical thing that someone needs shifted tonight. I thank you that you are restoring them to your original perfect design right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that pain is leaving their bodies. God, I thank you that you are flowing finances to people who are crying out to you. You are their provider, God. Thank you that you're shifting that situation on their behalf. God, I thank you for relationships that you are restoring and you are healing and redeeming. You are the God who works in the unseen. You are moving in our behalf. Thank you, God, for the gift of faith. Thank you, God, that every week we see your miracles in this house. Let our faith rise, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your comfort. Thank you for your wisdom. We trust you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com. Or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.